Let us pray. Gracious and mighty God, you are worthy of our worship, our praise, and our full attention. Thank you for this time that we have to gather before you. We pray that today your word might speak to our minds and our hearts and our life situations, so that we might live our lives in a way that brings you glory and helps to expand your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Amen. Anyone ever heard of the Lone Ranger Creed? Anyone know this? I thought someone in this room would. No one? There is one, the Lone Ranger Creed. Wow, I'm sure there'd be somebody in this group. Okay. Anyways, it starts off, I believe that to have a friend, a man must be one. Have you heard of that? Wow, okay. Well, that's great. I'm going to say that again. I believe that to have a friend, one must be one. When I was in college, one of my roommates, she really wanted to have a bosom buddy. She had read the Anne of Green Gables series, and there's this friendship between Anne and Diana, and they're kindred spirits and lifelong friends, and she just desired that friendship, and she had an expectation of what that friendship would be like, and it was maybe 3 or 4 years after we graduated from college, she called me up and she said, I found my bosom buddy. Like, you did? And she said, yeah, we were at this conference in Nashville. And it was just like the moment we met, we knew we were supposed to be friends. We're kindred spirits. And they've been friends ever since. I think that we all desire to have a friendship like that in some way. That really close friend that we are kindred spirits with. We know that friendship is a very powerful force. It is something that gives us a sense of belonging and security. It helps us to not feel alone. That good friend is that person who knows us and still chooses to be our friend, even though they know our quirks and our weaknesses and our strengths, and they've been with us during those stressful moments, they're still there for us. And yet, the word friendship is a word that we use loosely in our culture. We call anyone friend. We call our colleagues friend. We call our classmates friend. We call fellow members of a shared group of friends. You have a group of friends, and you may not know this person, but you all hang out together, so you call them friend. So often we use this term to describe someone that we spend a lot of time with, even though they may not have the qualities of friendship that Jacob talked about earlier. So in the New Testament, there's a word that's used in the Greek called heteros, which is translated to comrades. And this is to describe the type of friend that we're friends with because of circumstances. They're our comrades. But then there's this other type of friendship, which is the type of friendship where you have that special fondness. That friend that you can't imagine life without. Like, once they enter your life, you'll never let them go. These are the friends that are so close, you consider them family. You know, you expect them to be at family functions even. So in the New Testament, the Greek word used to describe these type of friends is philos. In Ecclesiastes, we read these words. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one help them up. So if you haven't figured out already, today we're talking about friendship. And the question that I went to the Bible with this week is, what does biblical friendship look like? How does God define friendship? How does the Bible model it? So there are four qualities of friendship, and if you have your bulletin, I'd say write it down. So you just have to make a mental note. So the first quality of friendship is friends share good news with each other, okay? So when you have a good thing happen in your life and you're excited about it, your close friend is one of the first people you think about calling. You want them to know that your family member had a baby, you got the promotion at the job. You want them to hear your good news. And you know that your friend will celebrate with you because you know your friend will recognize how great that news is.
Yeah.
And sometimes that news somebody else may not recognize it's good news. Like, hey, I got the green popsicle when I reached into the box. And your friend knows what that means for you to get the green popsicle out of the box. So the friend knows how to celebrate with you and knows what to celebrate. And friends self-disclose. They reveal themselves to each other. So there's a few stories of what this looks like in the Bible. And one is these parables Jesus tells about lost items. The woman who lost her coin, the lost sheep. And in each of these parables, when the lost item is found, the person calls their family and their closest friends to tell them the good news. Not everyone would care about that lost coin, but your best friend knows how valuable that coin is to you. Another story told in the Bible is this guy Cornelius. He was a believer in God, but he hadn't yet met Christ, and he heard that Peter was coming to tell about the Messiah. And so he invited his neighbors, those who lived right next door to him, his family members, and then his closest friends. And he had them all gather and be present, so when Peter came to tell about Jesus, they could hear the good news. So close friends want each other to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, a second thing the Bible talks about friendship is that friends believe in each other and honor each other. One of the first examples we see of this is Abraham believed God, and so God called Abraham a friend. That's a big deal. That Abraham believed God, and so God gave Abraham the name friend. When we believe in each other, that's what a friend does. We support each other, we honor each other, we lift each other up. If you and a friend are on a team and you're competing and your friend does really well and you don't do well, you don't get mad at your friend for doing well. You're excited for them. You know, and instead of beating yourself up about your failure, instead you're lifting up your friend and saying, I'm glad that you succeeded. There's no jealousy in friendship. We are willing to be humble and look at the strengths of our friend and lift them up and rejoice with them and take the backstage, not be in the limelight. Third quality of biblical friends is that they are there for each other, especially when a friend is in need. The Bible actually tells us that friends can be more reliable than siblings. Have you ever had that experience? I think a lot of people have had that experience where friends more reliable than a sibling. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." I think we all desire that friend who sticks closer to a brother. I have a group of girlfriends that we go once a year on a just weekend away. And how we became friends is actually because one of the girls in the group prayed for us, but none of us knew that. So we were in middle school, and she didn't have any friends, and she was sad. And she wrote in her journal, "God, I really would like a group of girlfriends." What's interesting is that friend isn't a person of strong faith at all. It's probably one of the few prayers she has prayed in her life, but she wrote it down. And we credit that prayer as why we're friends, because she and her friend, and she cried out to God, and we became friends. But friends will do for each other what other people won't. Friends are the ones that are there at 2:00 in the morning when you have an emergency and you don't know who to call. You know your friend will take your call at 2:00 in the morning. And friends also, you know if your friend comes to you with a request, you're going to meet that request. Your friend comes to you and says they have a need, you know you're going to respond as a friend to that need. In the Bible, there's a story about how Paul's a prisoner on a boat. And for some reason, the prison guards on this boat allowed him to get off the boat temporarily and get help from a friend on shore. That's what a friend does. There's another story about this centurion who had a servant who was sick and he was tending. And so he asked his friends, "Would you go get Jesus so he can come and heal him?" So sometimes friends run errands or represent each other. Proverbs 27:10 says, "Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family. And do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor, friend nearby than a relative far away." And the fourth thing friends do is warn each other of danger. A friend, when they see you're headed towards danger, is the person that can tell you that and you can listen to them. You know, acquaintance or stranger tells you and you're like, I don't know. But a friend can look at you and say, listen, you're about to kill yourself. Don't do it. Your friend's the one that can speak those hard truths in your lives and has a responsibility to speak those hard truths in your lives. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. There's lots of stories of friendship in the Bible. There's Ruth and Naomi, David and Jonathan, David and Hushai, his confidant. Fellow believers are often called friends. Friendships are sometimes made out of distressing circumstances. Herod and Pilate had been enemies until the crucifixion, and then they became very close friends after that. Jesus and his cousin, the baptizer. And Jesus, you often hear him and the disciples talk about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. There seems to be a really close friendship there. But I want to go back to that story about Abraham obeying God and God called him friend. Abraham and God were friends. And then we read about Moses and he speaks face to face with God, like friends speak face to face. So there's this idea that we can call God friend starting way back in the Old Testament. And then we get to the New Testament and we have Jesus in this crowd. There's thousands and thousands of people. And his disciples are near him. He calls them friends. He pulls them out of the crowd and he shares a special type of relationship with them. And then later, Jesus explains that all who follow him, all who obey his commands, are friends. John 15:13-15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So this is really the question today. If God is our friend, or Jesus is our friend, what does that look like? We've been talking about different names for God and Jesus and the Spirit. So when friends share good news with each other, well, God definitely shares good news of Jesus Christ with us. We've got this whole book of God sharing good news with us. But do we share our good news with God? When something exciting happens in our lives, something celebratory, do we say, thank you, God? Do we say, hey, God, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about the green popsicle. I'm just really glad that there was a green popsicle left in the box and I got it. Friends believe in each other and honor each other. So we appreciate Jesus being there for us because Jesus honors us, which is pretty incredible, and lifts us up and is there for us. But do we do the same for Jesus? Do we lift Jesus up in our everyday speech? In our conversation, do we talk about Jesus like we talk about our friendships? Friends are there for each other, especially when one is in need. It's an amazing thing, and Jesus is there for us always, especially when we have a need. And, you know, just like we go to our friends and tell them our needs, we can go to God and share with them our own needs. I know some people think that they should only pray for other people. I know some people have told me, I only pray for other people, I never pray for myself. But if we have a friendship with Jesus, that means we can pray for ourselves, and it's okay. Now, to only pray for yourself and not pray for other people, that can be a problem. But I want you to know, it's okay for you to talk to Jesus about your own needs because Jesus is your friend, and he wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to him about those things. But it also means we're there for others when they're in need. That we're Jesus' hands and we're Jesus' feet. And so we're there for others. And then the fourth, friends warn each other of danger. So when Jesus warns us that we're sinning, we need to accept it like a friend warning us. And say, oh, Jesus is warning us of sin because he sees where it's going to take us. And he's trying to protect us and trying to help us. These guidelines, these moral direction is for our good. This is a friend thing to do. But it also means that we pray that way. So if we see that something's of concern for the church, we go to Jesus and we say, hey, Jesus, something's going on here. I feel like there's a warning. We need your help. Does anybody have any stories you want to share about maybe how Jesus has been a friend in your life, or maybe a friendship that you've had where the friend has really modeled Christ's love? I know I'm kind of throwing this on you. Yes, Ricardo.
We've been talking about the lost coin, and lost sheep, and everything about the disciples of Christ. And, man, you know, when I had that experience, when I went back out and I was gone, realized and thought that his church was still praying for me and concerned for me. And when I came back, all those things were revealed to me as I kept coming to church, and I started seeing that you guys were happy that I was back. And, I have a good friend of mine who tells me every now and then, he shares stories about his heart. And you know, he's excited, you know, to tell people what God did in my life. So, yeah, that's what this message reminded us. Thank you guys for being my friend.
Thank you. Yes.
One of the things that I see as a really friendship is that regardless of whether I've moved away or they've moved away, and when we get together, it's like I haven't. I have encountered people in my life that, like, oh, well, you moved away, you can't be friends anymore, and they don't realize that you can, and that's like God, because he's always there no matter what. My feelings don't change for my friends, even though life kind of takes them in a different direction than I haven't been seeing for a while. When I see him, I feel exactly the same, actually more excited because I haven't seen him for a while. But that's how I
feel. I like Ricardo pointing out that we seek out the lost, and that's friendship. And you're talking about when you're distant from someone doesn't mean the friendship's over. I think sometimes people feel like, I haven't prayed, read my Bible, or attended church for a while, so God doesn't want to see me anymore. God doesn't want to talk to me. Instead of seeing it as, oh, God's longing for that friendship to be reconnected, we instead keep running away from God rather than saying, oh, in the distance of 6 months or 4 years or 7 years or however long it's been, like, God's just waiting for us to come back. Just like a friend is waiting for that phone call that they haven't heard from you for a while. There's a hand over here.
I thought I had, when you said it could be hard to talk to Jesus as a friend, the image that popped in my head was when you see someone at a grocery store and you just stand there in the middle of the bread aisle with two carts talking, that's what you need to do to catch up with Jesus.
That's a great illustration. So we can talk to Jesus anywhere we're at, like a friend, like in the grocery store, walking down the aisle. I had shared previously with the kids ministry, I had a note on my office door, and I set up a chair with a light, and I told the kids they could go in there and talk with Jesus. And the kids loved it. Like, we can do that in our own home. Sit down at our kitchen table and get some coffee or tea and put in coffee or tea across from us and pretend Jesus is talking there and just talk to God as our friend. We're invited to do that. Thank you. Let's pray. God, there are so many names and titles we can give you, in so many ways we can refer to you and worship you. But today we are reminded that you are our friend, that you're that kindred spirit, the one who is close to us, who knows everything about us, and yet still chooses a relationship with us. Jesus, help us to grow that friendship. Help us to grow closer to you. Jesus, we're also reminded that in order to have a friend, we need to be a friend. So help us to open our eyes to the people in our lives we need to be a friend to, and show us how to have the character and qualities of a friend for them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and sing our next song, which is In the Garden.